In the studio with me, I have an author, and she would be a bajobbin because she's coming from a very artistic point of view. Her name is Bevan Atkinson, and she's got a brand new book out. And we're going to talk about that book and what inspired it and what it's all about. But let's first say hello. Good evening to you, my dear. How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you doing, African?
It's all good in my neighborhood. Always is. How about that?
I've learned that from you.
So, you're an author. How did you become an author, by the way? How did that all happen for you?
Well, I was in a school, a girls' prep school back east in Pittsburgh. And the English teachers there were just superb. You don't know it when you're a kid. You just experience that. And when I graduated finally, they gave me the Prose Award. Now, I assure you that was the only vestige of an academic award I was ever close to even winning. And I was kind of shocked by it because I thought, well, all the women authors we've read, they're British and dead. Or they're Southern and they're a little nutty, you know, Eudora Welty and Flannery O'Connor. And I thought, I don't know how I fit in this tribe. And the men that we read, they were all writing about war and they were drunks and they lived in New York and they were combative and, you know, suicidal. And I just thought, I don't see how I fit into any kind of a writer tribe. And then I went to work when I moved out here at the phone company. And they taught me to be a trainer. And they put me in the instructional design training, and I learned how to write training material. And for decades after that, I wound up writing in a business environment, and I found out, oh, you can be a writer, you just don't write fiction. And then in the course of that, I'm writing role plays and video scripts, and ultimately, on the side, I wrote a children's book, and then I wrote a screenplay, and I realized, wait a minute, I can write as long as fiction, as long as it's written to an architecture. And I was always reading everything there was, and especially mysteries. And I realized mysteries have a very specific architecture. It's not a complicated architecture. Even I can tackle this. Somebody dies, somebody else figures out how that happened and why. And so I was down in Santa Barbara at a friend's funeral, and I thought of Sue Grafton and how she was going to finish the alphabet with her series, A is for Alibi, B is for Burglar. And I thought, well, I read the tarot, and there's 78 cards in that. I would never run out. So I'm doing for the tarot what Sue Grafton did for the alphabet. I'm working my way through the major arcana, and I'm going to write 22 books, and this is the fifth one.
So what was your inspiration for this series? What inspired all of this?
Well, I think there's a lot of... there's a wide array of points of view about occultism and the occult sciences in general, and the tarot in particular. Even now, I just got an email today from someone who'd read one of the books and said she really knew nothing about the tarot other than gypsies and witchcraft and cheating people out of money. And I thought, you know, when I first started reading the tarot, that is the last thing that you... if you are any sort of ethical person, that you take away from studying the tarot. If you're doing it right, what you're doing is helping people train their intuition as a tool to help them live better and more observantly and more aware of themselves and of what gifts we have as mammals, you know. We have these innate character traits that allow us to read the world around us and other people in it, and we don't use them very well. And the tarot is, if you're using it right, a tool for teaching you how to access that information for your own benefit and for the help and to help others. So I thought that's really a worthwhile message to get out there.
Okay, hold that thought. So how many books will there be in the series?
Well, the original plan is for 22 books because there are 22 cards. The tarot has 78 cards total. And they're divided into the major and the minor arcana, the bigger the little secrets. And the 56 cards in the minor arcana, those are the precursors of the modern playing deck. So they go from 1 to 10, and then they have face cards. They're 14 in a suit in the Tarot. And in the Modern Playing deck, they took out one of the female face cards. And of the major arcana, there are 22 of those, and those map to the Hebrew alphabet instead of the Western alphabet. And they are linked to Kabbalah and there's a lot of stuff that's incorporated into the Tarot that you study when you want to learn how to use it. And so I'm working on the 22 major arcana now that represent the major cycles in life. And each book is based on one of those cards. And its meaning, the plot basically takes its jumping off point from the meaning of a given card.
So what is the origin of the tarot cards, and how long has this been in existence?
Well, there's a lot of lore. There's a lot of lore about the tarot. So, I mean, I'll trot some out here. It's pretty widely referred to if you go researching it. But who knows if this is the case, really. So the story goes that the wise men and women, long around 600 AD, realized that the dark times were coming. The Huns were coming. Attila was coming. Everybody was going to wind up being mowed down by these brutalists, and that the ancient wisdom was going to be lost from the Sumerians, from the Egyptians, from the Greeks and the Romans, from the Christians and the Jews. It was all going to be, and the Muslims, was all going to be gone. So they gathered in the first university, which was in Fez. It was founded by a woman, and she held this group together and said, what are we going to do to preserve this wisdom? Mm-hmm. And they decided that if they could put the wisdom encapsulated in some form that could be used for vice, it would survive these folks who were going to come in and really be interested in nothing more than vice. So they took, for instance, the imagery from between the pillars of the Temple of Karnak and from Sumerian astrology and from Kabbalah, and they incorporated all that into the tarot deck. And so there's numerology, there's astrology, there's color symbology, there's figurative iconography. And the most often referred to resurfacing or surfacing of the tarot in any kind of modern setting was in roughly the 1300s in southern France. These folks came into Marseille, and they were called gypsies because they were thought to have come from Egypt. In fact, they're Aryans, and they're the Rome. But anyway, they were called gypsies, and they used these cards to tell fortunes and to play card games, and they became all the rage. You know, the king's court at that time in France was in southern France, not up in Paris. And that deck, the Marseille deck, it's called, is the earliest known deck. Nowadays, there's really a tarot deck known in virtually every culture around the world. There's some form of visual iconography that's used to help people, again, train their intuition, train their access to stuff they might not otherwise pay attention to.
So the cards that we use to play poker and
bridge and
bridge, all that stuff, is that a byproduct of this?
That is
the 54 cards, including the two jokers.
The joker is the only major arcana that's left in the modern playing deck. That's the zero card, the fool, from the major arcana. And so that's the only one that's left over. And the fool card is really considered its own suit in many of the books that you read about the tarot. It's zero. It's all. It's nothing. It's the circle that encompasses everything known and that excludes. It's the God card. He's called the Lord of Ether. Mm-hmm. So in the first book that I wrote, the fool card, the murder comes about via an ether explosion. So I have fun drawing from what I know about the tarot, and I put stuff like that into the books for people who understand the cards. But you don't have to understand these cards to read the books. The books are built around a woman who uses the cards to help her, but she doesn't necessarily solve the mysteries using them. She just uses them to help her figure out what situation she's in and how she should proceed.
The T is silent, is that correct?
Typically, yeah, people pronounce it tarot, but there are reasons why you would say there's a word called tarotier from the French, and so, yeah, you do say it, but generally people pronounce it tarot.
And what is your experience with the tarot cards?
Well, when I moved here, a long time ago, there was a store on Broadway in San Francisco called the Mystic Eye, and it was an occult supply store, and you could get card readings there. And I lived just up the hill from it, and my boyfriend said to me, he said, I'm going to go down and have my cards read at the Mystic Eye. Do you want to go? And I thought, well, ooh, okay. I was a little leery of it. And I went down with him, and when he came out, he said, she was really good. And if you'd like, I'll pay for you to have a reading. So I thought, well, okay. So I went in and sat down. This woman's name was Mala, and she had short, dark hair and these wonderful, glittering kind of eyes that you thought, well, she's going to see everything and tell me all about it. And she laid out the cards and said, oh, you're going to read cards. And I thought, well, that is just so far from the world I came from of, you know, lawnmowers and suburbia. That's just impossible. She said, no, you're going to read cards. And that's really all I remember from that reading. And I went home to my apartment and my roommate said to me, what'd you find out? And I said, well, she told me I'm going to read cards, but I don't know what I'm. And my roommate said, well, I have a deck and I have a book on how to read them. You want those? Because I'm not using them. And she gave me the Marseille deck and the book on how to read those cards. And I started studying at that point. And since then, every deck I've used has been given to me. And so I take that as kind of a sign.
How many people have you read for? Do you know?
Oh, it varies. Sometimes I'll do a psychic fair and I'll read for six people in a couple of hours. And other times, months go by. Somebody will ask me, they'll find out that I do read cards and they'll say, I wish you'd read mine. And I wait for them to ask for an appointment. And if they don't, I don't say, well, when do you want to? I feel like that's kind of people say, I wish you'd read mine, and they don't really want me to. So I wait for folks to say, can we do it on Tuesday?
Okay, so fast forwarding into the series of books that you have that are based on this whole tarot card reading situation. You've created a series of mysteries that are influenced by the reading of these cards. Is that correct?
That's right. Correct? So the heroine is a woman named Rosalind Alexandra Bard, and she goes by Xana. And in the first book, she's just sitting there minding her own business. She's kind of shut herself off from life. And she's reading a book and listening to Dave Brubeck and got her pets all huddled around her, and she's had some tough experiences. And literally, this brute of a thuggish guy drives into her house, bang. And whereas any sane person would call the cops, she takes him in. She listens to her tarot-trained intuition, and she takes him in. He's been shot, and she reads the cards, and there's the fool card. Now, if you look at the most commonly known image of the fool card, it's this guy carrying a stick with his little bundle of belongings at the end of it, and he's about to walk off a cliff, and he's happy about it. He's just looking up thinking, here we go. And that's the inspiration for that book, that idea that you are ready, and you trust the universe.
That's book one.
That's book one. So okay. She just goes, boom. And each book, because her last name is Bard, and I love Shakespeare, each book has a Shakespeare quote. And in that book, the quote is, the readiness is all.
There are five books. You were talking about number one.
The Fool card's number one.
Okay, you have four that's been done and are out and about. Is that correct? Uh-oh. Thank you. Lloyd Gregory just walked into the studio. We might want to give him a warning. Don't get too close, brother. You don't want any of this. But if you feel like you're immune to all of these activities, go ahead and grab a seat at that microphone. He says, no, I'm cool. Okay, so 4 books have been published, and you're just now completing, and what's available now is book number 5.
That's right, The Emperor Card.
And let's talk about that one.
Sure.
Go ahead, talk about it.
Well, The Emperor, the magician is all about using tools to your benefit, and the High Priestess, that one winds up being about a female cult. Female-led cult. And in that one, I introduce a character that's based on you. And the world's coolest human takes his spot in these books.
I am so flattered. And this character is really and truly actually based on me.
Well, you as a person, he has other endeavors that he engages in besides being a radio star. But he's a mentor to my protagonist and a guide, literally. Mm-hmm. And besides being funny as can be. And in the next book, The Empress Card, that book's about female dumb and what it's like to deal with being an extraordinarily sexually compelling, beautiful woman when you're younger, and not acting right because you think you're all that, and your experience is you are all that. And what happens to you when you're older and you have to pay the price for all of the harm that you've done up until then?
And that's in this book.
That's in The Empress.
Oh,
and
the
now,
Empress.
And now The Emperor, this is about what happens when you're a man. This is maledom. And this is, the Emperor is boundaries and the number 4 and honesty and fatherhood and mastery and authority. And in this one, Xana has to come to terms not only with issues related to her own dad, but she has to come into her own and really be responsible for herself in a way that she hasn't been before. Even with her now boyfriend, the man who ran into the house, Thorn Ardal, in the first book, and with DeLeon Davies, who's the character based around your personality, mm-hmm. even with help from those guys, she's got to do the job. She's got to be the one to establish her own realm in the books. Now, these sound awfully serious as I hear myself talking about them, but the books are fun, and they read very fast, and they're interesting because of this element of the tarot, which most people don't know much about. But in fact, this is a road trip story with gold mines, and she, you know, if I read the first page, this is the beginning of chapter 1, starts, I don't know about you, but I'm not accustomed to coming home on an airless, sultry day, letting the 2 excited, capering dogs out into the side yard dog run, going upstairs and peeling off my clinging downtown clothes, taking a tepid shower to wash off the stickiness, clipping the tags off of and sliding into a newly purchased gauzy sundress, pouring a lovely tall glass of iced mint tea, letting the still excited dogs back into the kitchen and giving them a treat, carrying the plastic glass of iced tea through the curtained French doors and out to the deck to see if anything resembling a cool breeze from the always cold Pacific Ocean 100 yards away would please blow the edge off of whether my friend Chris Sears refers to as hot as fried hell, only to discover a dead body in my backyard. So there you are. She's dealing with a perimeter, which the Emperor is all about. She's got a fenced backyard, and there's this really unpleasant intrusion there. And there we go. She's off to the races with that.
All right. Bevan Atkinson in the studio with a tarot mystery by Bevan Atkinson, the Emperor card. You just heard an excerpt from her latest book, number 5 of 22
planned books. I'm working on them.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Well, it's fewer than Sue Grafton has to do. I'm thinking I can pull it off.
Hey, you know, I wish you the best. And speaking of the best, we are the best here at 94.1 KPFA, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF Fresno, 97.5 K248BR Santa Cruz, online all the time. Shucks and show enough. KPFA.org. This is Bajaba on Jazz Line, your host, African Jamal Davis, on your case and in your space. 22. So you've got 17 more to go. Wow. The tarot, or tarot as you pronounce it, is considered, among many other things, a tool for training intuition. So why do some people rely on and use their intuition while others don't?
Well, you got me there. I think, you know, we are mammals. We are hardwired to know whether those lionesses are circling to start hunting us, right, or whether they're just, you know, checking out the weather. And I think that willingness, as a child especially, we have a pretty capable grasp of that. And I think it gets coached out of us as we get older. But you hear folks who trust their gut, who just have a feeling about something. That's what I'm talking about in terms of intuition. Okay. And the tarot teaches you how to hone that and rely upon it.
And so how true is the readings to one's life in regards to who we are, what we do, why we are who we are, and why we do what we do?
Well, because there's so much information captured in a card, when you study the tarot, you learn all these different ways in which the cards can convey information. And you also, when you study the history, you find out in the late 1800s in England, there was this group that really started to promote the use of the tarot. It was called the Order of the Golden Dawn, and folks like William Butler Yeats and Aleister Crowley, Madame Blavatsky, and the Theosophical Society, and Carl Jung were members. And Carl Jung took the information from the tarot and created his theory of archetypes. So we operate with the understanding of what archetypes are, and the idea that a seated woman has meaning is something that you can study and learn about. So when you're looking at a tarot reading, you know, I had somebody push back on that, saying, well, there are all these folks with signs in their windows saying, come get a reading. And if you do, you feel like they're just trying to milk you for more money. Mm-hmm. And my reaction to that is, are you using your intuition properly then? Because if you feel like you're getting rooked, you're probably getting rooked. Stand up and walk away. For me, I don't charge money to read cards, because it was a gift to me to learn this skill. And my intention is always to try to use that for not only my benefit, because I always get something out of a reading, no matter who I'm reading for, but to help this other person whose chances are good. They're having a tarot reading because they feel stuck. They feel unable to make a decision that is important to them. They're just stalled. So they come and they ask about money, they ask about their health, they ask about their family or their job, they ask about love. They're pretty typical things people feel stuck about. What I consider to be your job, if you're a reputable and responsible tarot reader, is you try to illuminate the situation for them using the cards as your tool. And if somebody's had a good tarot reading, the thing they should feel at the end is recognized and released. They should feel freer and more aware of their circumstances, because you've talked to them about them in a way that makes them say, wait a minute, I can see this more clearly now. and I feel like I know better what I should be doing next. That's your goal. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of the whole idea that you're going to meet a dark stranger and take a sea cruise and come into money. That ain't it. My intention is always, I say a little prayer before I do a reading. Let this light pass through me unrefracted, unchanged.
Okay. So what are the titles of the five books, again, starting with number one?
The first book is The Fool Card, and that is a fast book.
Okay.
And it's just this leap off the cliff that she takes to get herself into this new life. And the second book is The Magician, and because that's Hermes, and Hermes carry, you know, Mercury, he carries that staff with the intertwined snakes. That's two plots. That's twin plots that interwind with each other to the end of the book. And the third one is the High Priestess card. And that's about this female-led cult. And Leon Davies's daughter is kidnapped by the cult. Mm. And so he engages Xana and Thorn, her...
Better find my baby girl.
That's right. You better go find my baby girl. He literally comes in and says, you got to get my baby girl back for me. And the fourth book is the Empress card. Mm-hmm. And this is this fifth one, the Emperor. This one's a lot of fun. My oldest brother has a thing about gold. And the Emperor in the card, he wears a gold crown, a very prominent gold crown, and he carries a gold scepter. And I thought, well, I'm going to make this book be about gold fever and about people who get so caught up in what has theoretically some value, but in fact, what value does it have if you're dead? And... Xana has to get herself out from under suspicion for murder because this body in her backyard, you're automatic. It's at your house. You're elected to be our first suspect.
And what is your website?
The website is thetarotmysteries.com.
Spell all of that.
thetarotmysteries.com. And you can buy the books directly from there, especially if you want an autographed copy. But my recommendation is you should go to your local bookstore. And if they don't stock them, you know, here in Berkeley, you can go to Pegasus or Moe's or Mrs. Dalloway's. Go to your local bookstore and ask them to carry the books or ask them to order them for you. They're in ebook format from Amazon and Barnes & Noble if you use a Nook or a Kindle. Or they're in trade paperback format if you'd like that.
All right, let's open up the line, see who's out there. And we'll put one of these in someone's library, like right away. The number to call to do that is area code 510-848-4425. That's 510-848-4425. Lloyd, you have a question then, or a comment or something that you want to say? Oh, okay, that's my other guess. Let's see. Okay, there you go. And again, we're going to give away a copy of The Emperor card, Bevan Atkinson in the studio with me. And the number to call is 510-848-4425. If you are into the tarot cards and all of its whatever it is, then I'm not quite sure what it is. Never will be. I don't know that I'll ever be on board, but... I'm intrigued by what you're doing and how you're doing it and where you're taking it to, starting from, you know, point A to, oh, the lines are lighting up. So let's turn the music up and we'll come right back. Bevan, I want to thank you so much for coming in. The phones are lighting up. These folks are out there listening and very interested in what you're doing. So,
I'm glad to see it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so one more time, give... information where people can get this book?
You can go to your local bookstore, and if it's not stocked, you can order it there. You can go online to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. They have all of the series. You can go to my website, www.thetarotmysteries.com. You can order a signed autograph copy there. All anywhere right. You want, you can get these books, and I'm so grateful to anybody that would head out and do more work looking for him. Thank you.
One more question for you. What do you want people to know about you?
Well, gee, I don't know. I think I should stay a mystery. I live in San Francisco. I don't have any pets, although Xana in the books is surrounded by pets. And I'm just, you know, I'm not working a day job anymore. I'm lucky enough to be a writer full-time doing fiction now instead of corporate writing.
Well, I really have to acknowledge you and thank you for actually creating a character based on me. That's honorable. Thank you for doing that.
I got to tell you, that is one of the most popular characters in the stories. People love DeLeon Davies, and why wouldn't they?
Well, people love African Davis. So
that's what I mean. That's what I'm telling you.
My head is getting big. No, not really. Okay, so cool. I wish you the best, and when number 6 comes out, please come back and visit us.
It would be my honor and privilege to do so. Thank you.
You take care. Keep swinging. Thanks. Be safe.
Bye-bye.